南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Thank you for coming back. Those who are new, and don't forget to subscribe and to like this video. And you don't have to like it. If you don't like it, let me know. But everything's about propagation. And by liking the video, you help us grow this Sangha. By subscribing, you certainly help to promote this channel. And what we're trying to do here is strengthen our practice of Buddhism, yes? Transmitting, as we say in Gongyo, the correct teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, the Lotus Sutra, with our modern mentor, Bodhisattva Nichiren. Yeah, and his doctrines, his elucidations of the scholarship, the lineage of scholarship of Shakyamuni's teachings, of self-enlightenment, which is what the Lotus Sutra specifically is. Some people don't understand. They think the Lotus Sutra is just another sutra, like all the teachings are just textbooks about the same thing. Certainly the goal is the same throughout all of Shakyamuni's lifetime of teachings, but he taught for a specific audience that whose capacity to understand and integrate their understanding of life, the human mind, the awareness of the actual process that is life, that great engine of life, the universe, as experienced through each of our single minds, single only by virtue of the apparatus from which it emerges. But in Buddha-ness, in the fundamental workings of all life, there is no difference. We can all experience the truth, the clarity of that, albeit through our personal, and this is where that word, that tricky word called self, even in Buddhism, there's this duality of terminology about self. We hear a lot about self, non-self, non-non-self. That gets closer to the truth. What is a non-non-self? And I've said it many times in many videos, to negate something, it's kind of funny that we do that. It's our mechanism in samsara. When we negate something, we obviate its existence. And in Buddhism, the idea of the process that creates an aggregate, we label self, an identification of an amalgam, yeah? It's the process that we're talking about. And that process which requires this apparatus of a physical universe in order to emerge a mind that realizes it. My goodness. Glasses karma again. Ugh, I hate wearing these things. We put a man on the moon. Why don't we have, you know, just go to Walmart, get some drops, and your eyes are fixed. Maybe with nanotechnology we'll get there one day. Gosh. I know, LASIK, right? Anyway. what was I saying before I got distracted by my worldliness? My goodness. Here it is, folks. A prime example of the problem. Samsara intruding upon, well, an attempt to be enlightening anyway. Okay, let us continue with the Vimalakirti Sutra, albeit Burton Watson's translation, not bad, certainly has the typical stumbling blocks of westernized thinking, which I wish, I mean, that, you know, those words have no meaning either, but there's a lens through which, the lens of religions, which our cultures have inculcated for millennia, really. It's hard to get that crap out of the way and just perceive clearly without the tendency toward mysticism, magical thinking. We do it all the time. And in this age of marketing, everything is marketing. Everything is a position. We're so obsessed with this, not that, right? That's samsara unleashed, unmitigated, unlimited. It's just constant distraction. To have a practice where we can actually reach to that unconditioned mind, that's just, it's hard to talk about. Because again, those are words, and words are mutable to anyone who hears them. We apply our own samsaric filters to every word we hear. So the result is it takes a tremendous amount of words to circumambulate around the idea that we're trying to communicate, inculcate, practice. Fortunately, Namo Myoho Renge-kyo, boom, whether you understand it or not, puts you there. Maintaining it, that's a different story. But this Buddhahood, what we label Buddhahood, can only be experienced in this samsaric mind. Nowhere else. Don't seek it anywhere else. It's in your mind. So we're going to talk some more about that, about Akshobhya Buddha, yet another name for the state of mind that we're reaching. All these, I made a note here, all these words, worlds are alternate states of mind or world views. Again, or this or that, or alternately this or that. We have no way of communicating directly other than Namo Myoho Renge-kyo. And when you and I get together and we chant together Namo Myoho Renge-kyo, it is our Buddha-ness, our Buddhahood, that communicates. Itai Doshin, many in body, one in mind. It is the samsaric tool for liberation, for this mindset. Maintaining that mindset as we navigate samsara, that's the work of bodhisattva. That's what we're all trying to do, right? The host of bodhisattvas and voice hearers and the various heavenly and human beings in that world who had acquired transcendental knowledge all cried out together saying, quote, look, world-honored one, someone is making off with us. Save and protect us, we beg of you. Save. Emancipate us, liberate us from these conditioned realities, yeah? But the Buddha, immovable, said, this is not my doing. This is the work of Vimalakirti's supernatural powers. And the rest of the beings in that world who had not yet acquired transcendental knowledge did not even realize or know where they had gotten to. But although the wonderful joy world had been placed on the ground in this world, it had not increased or decreased in size, and this world likewise had no way become cramped or narrow, but was no different from what it has always been. So what is this a description of? If you didn't watch the previous video, you might feel a little lost here. But let me reground you. And this is another effort at describing a paradigm shift of the mind. The world does not change. Has not changed. The world is as it does. It instantiates potential, karma, energy with actions in all its potentials and tendencies and conditions manifests to suit moment to moment what those tendencies and conditions are. That's life. That's the universe. That's you and I. Constantly doing this. Moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. Right? So Vimalakirti, with his supernatural power, what are the supernatural powers? Transcendental powers? His mind. He influences the people in his home, in this part of the story, to perceive the world, to experience the world in an alternative way, to see the same world, but not see it the same, to experience the world anew from this perfectly, purely expressive state. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It always is. It always has been. You just haven't perceived it that way because of attachments, because of ownership, loss, opinions, emotions, all of that stuff that colors reality. But we forget that that's coloring, and we think we mistake the coloring for the reality. So Vimalakirti has just gotten done using his transcendental powers, his mind, to experience and share that experience with those in the room. And many of them, by this paragraph, are jarred. They're like, what's going on? Where did we go? You didn't go anywhere. You're perceiving and experiencing through a different state of being, an enlightened state of being. Relax. Then Shakyamuni Buddha addressed his great assembly, saying, quote, do you see the wonderful joy world, the thus come one immovable, and the splendid adornments of this land, the purity of the practices carried out by his bodhisattvas, the impeccable cleanliness of his major disciples? He's not talking about, did you clean behind the ears? He's talking about their radiance. We are all radiant beings. But if we start picking apart every little pore of our flesh to identify what is that and what is not this, we cease to see that aura of magnificent instantiation, and we glom on to things that we make permanent, which aren't. So we start deluding ourselves, right? Everyone replied, yes, we've seen them, but they're still resisting because they can't attach to that. It seems to be overwhelming them. Ever had that experience? The Buddha said, if bodhisattvas wish to acquire a Buddha land as pure and spotless as this, they should study the way practiced by the thus come one immovable. That's the practice in its entirety right there. We know this from the perspective of students of Nichiren and the Lotus Sutra, self-enlightenment. We know this. At the time this sutra was spread, people didn't know this. So this is all challenging information. But you and I, we get that, right? If we want to acquire a beatific life, then all we need to do is change our minds. Experience this life without the burden of our illusions of ownership, possession, gain, loss. Easy to say. When this wonderful joy country appeared in the Saha world, when this alternative method of engagement with the moment-to-moment instantiation of life occurred in this samsara, in this mentally attached world, right? This is a battle in the mind. 14 nayutas of persons set their mind on attaining anuttara samyak sambodhi, all desiring to be born in the Buddha land, wonderful joy. Shakyamuni, in fact, do you hear the foible in the language here? I understand what that meant. But if you took it apart word for word, we don't want this world to become the world, wonderful joy. You understand the personages, the labeling of mental faculties here. The Buddha land, wonderful joy, isn't a place. It's not an alternative place. It's a shift of perception of the same place. And that shift of perception is unique to you. Because it's your experience, your attachments that are being sloughed away so that you can see clearly. Shakyamuni thereupon gave them a prophecy saying, you will be born in that land. And this is the whole purpose of Siddhartha Gautama's mission in the first place. The reason he spent 6 or 7 years studying with every Brahmin he could find, and then 6 years or so on his own, circumnavigating a Bodhi tree by legend. But basically, he just turned inward, said, none of you have the answer. I'm going to have to do this on my own. And he came up with it. And ever since that moment, he's been teaching it. Although he had to back off at first because people just sort of did that sad puppy look like, what? So then he backed off. 2-3 weeks he spent with his first sermon and then thought, oh, yeah, it took me 12 years to do this. Kind of not fair. I need to talk to these people to their capacity to understand and slowly expand their understanding of life, yeah? And this is the story of the teachings of the sutras, yes? Early teachings, middle teachings, 5 periods have been identified in scholarship of the slow shift over years of Shakyamuni's teachings, yeah? Until Lotus Sutra, where he's teaching, okay, everyone, now you're capable, do what I've done. Do as I have done. Replicate what I have done, Lotus Sutra. Then the wonderful joy world, having finished bestowing enrichment and benefit upon this country, returned to its original place. All the members of the assembly saw it do so. They returned to their samsaric Saha world, yeah? The Buddha addressed Shariputra, our old buddy Shariputra, saying, did you see this wonderful joy world and the Buddha immovable? Yes, I saw them, world-honored one, and I beg you to enable all living beings to acquire a clean and pure land like that of the Buddha immovable, and to gain transcendental powers like those of Vimalakirti. Enlightenment. Move the mind to that experience. World-honored one, I and the others have happily acquired excellent benefits. This blew us all away, right? Being able to see this person and to approach and make offerings to him. Vimalakirti. Now see, Shariputra is a Sharvaka. He's still attached to egos. It's in his language. We have to give him merit. He knows what he should be looking for, but he's still, all of his terminology is based on this, that, him, me identification. And other living beings, either now, while the Buddha is here, or after he passes away, if they hear this sutra, will acquire excellent benefits as well. We'll all learn something. But that's not, learning something and experiencing it are not the same. And how much more so if, having heard it, they believe and understand it, accept it and uphold it, read and recite it, expound it to others, and practice it as the law directs. Well, folks, this is what we're doing, isn't it? This has never changed. Buddhism, in its 50-some-odd year history of teaching from Shakyamuni, has never changed from its goal. It's been taught to a specific audience, and that may look and appear different, but ultimately, and we know this as students of the Lotus Sutra, it has stayed the course all along. The only thing that changes is exactly what Shariputra is identifying here. We can learn, we can experience, we can have aha moments. But how do we maintain it in our lives? How do we actualize it? There's all these characteristics, all these insights, but how do we just do it? That's the Lotus Sutra. Read it, recite it, expound it to others, and practice it as the law directs. We get people to repeat Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. We get them to come over and chant with us. From that base, from that shift of perception, from seeing the world wonderful joy, even if they don't know they're seeing it, we bring those minds into the celebration, into enlightenment, into awakening. From that point on, it is their volition, their curiosity, their ichinen, their decision to seek that wonderful joy world. We can't force people to do it. We can't. It's the nature of samsara and ego. If we could have an IV of Namo Myoho Renge Kyo and plug it into people, but that just, because we're not talking about the physical world, we're talking about the mind. And the only person that drives the mind is you. I can influence it. I can assist it. I can do all sorts of things to help you get to your realization, but I can't do the realization for you. I can't. It's not in the nature of the mind or samsara to do so. One who holds this sutra in hand has thereby acquired the storehouse of jewels of the law. If one reads and recites it, understands and expounds it, and practices it as the law directs, the Buddhas will guard and keep in mind that person. Are these heavenly beings that are saying, oh good, come here in my embrace? No. The Buddhas is the enlightenment potential of the universe. It is that experience of the engine, of the beauty of equanimity, that everything functions in this way. Primarily, what precipitates from that is tendencies and conditions, samsara. But don't mistake the colorations of energy to be energy. They are colorations, and you can appreciate them as colorations, which liberates you from making them permanent. Ownership, losing, gaining. It's the same message over and over and over. And if there are those who give alms to such a person, let it be known that this is giving alms to the Buddha. If there are those who copy and preserve these sutra scrolls, let it be known that the Thus Come One will visit them in their rooms. And if there are those who, hearing this sutra, can respond with appropriate joy, those persons will forthwith acquire comprehensive wisdom, insights, aha moments, yeah? If there are those who believe and understand this sutra, even just one four-line verse of it, and can expound it to others, let it be known that such persons will forthwith receive a prophecy of the attainment of Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. Let me call your attention to that last sentence. Because this is the Vimalakirti Sutra. This is years before the Lotus Sutra. But haven't you heard this same talk in the Lotus Sutra? This idea that if you memorize just a word, a sentence, a verse of this teaching, you're guaranteed to attain enlightenment, Buddhahood, moment to moment to moment. There is nothing in the Lotus Sutra that is ground-shakingly different from what Shakyamuni spoke of the moment he attained enlightenment. What is different is the mind that perceives it. And in the Lotus Sutra, his focus is on a mind prepared to receive it. But the method of teaching is the same. It's just a matter of mental shift, paradigm shift, perception, capacity for experiencing. Right? There's nothing anywhere that said that practicing these earlier teachings didn't result in people reaching enlightenment. Oh, wow, scandalous. He said it out loud. However, the point of Shakyamuni's teachings was to make it so that anyone, no matter what their capacity, if they had a simple method to do so, would immediately attain, awaken, reach a mind of equanimity, Buddhahood, and then course in samsara as a bodhisattva. Because no longer are you just a person learning, a monk, but you're a monk of a special sort who has experienced something, right? You remember the old refrain, teachers teach because they can't do. But when you meet a teacher who has done and teaches, don't you experience that teaching very differently? Normally you would. Just your appreciation for that teacher having done, rather than just knowing how to do, you learn differently, because we all teach ourselves, and I won't get into that again. Same thing, over and over. Next chapter, the offering of the law. So, if you've been able to accomplish this perceptive shift, this new experience of moment-to-moment instantiation, life, how in the hell do you share it with others? Again, same problem. With words, where interpretations and, right, the fountain analogy, how do we do that? We've all confronted that. How can the Vimalakirti Sutra, I don't rate. How can I possibly teach somebody else when I'm struggling with this myself? I don't know the words to use. I don't know the blah, 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 blah. Million reasons. Isn't that the story of Vimalakirti? Nobody wanted to go check on his illness and see how he was doing. Which, by the way, have we heard anything about that? Maybe that was just the ruse of self-doubt manifesting itself in this story. So how do we offer? Not force, not teach, but offer this Namo Myoho Renge-kyo, this teaching, this enlightenment to others. That we will save for the next video. Yeah, I know this one's a little short today, but it's nice. Have a little breather. And I'll just close with a deeply felt appreciation for your practice, your using these resources, these free resources of threefoldlotus.com, downloading typical starting questions. I sometimes suggest that the documents that I have on the home.htm page has like 60 or so typical, what is Daimoku, how does chanting work, so on and so forth, really basic questions about this practice. And not extremely long documents. Most are PDFs you can just print out. And they're tools, right? They're not the end-all, be-all. They're just my accrual of information over some 40 years. And I put them up on the website there free to give you a framework to help give you confidence, number one. And number two, words to communicate ideas with as you discuss this with other people. Right? Our first discussion is with ourselves, that duality. But then how do we encourage someone? First of all, get them to chant. Always start with Daimoku, because it attunes our minds by virtue of opening Gohanzon, our Buddha-ness, even if we don't understand what that is, so that then when we samsarically use words, they're hooked on to something real, that experience. They're not just words on a page, you know. It's like working with a bag of concrete mix. It's powdery, it makes dust. But when we see a great concrete structure, then we view the bag differently, the dust differently. It's a poor analogy, but still on the mark, yeah. So use the resources as you are now. Thank you for doing that. Stay confident about your practice. Be kind to yourself. And I mean, watch your health. Watch the health of those people around you. Because without it, our lives are burdened with a hell of a lot more obstacles. Right? We want enlightenment. We want Namo Myoho Renge-kyo. Thanks for being here. I'll see you in the next one. As usual, bye for now.